Praise the Lord, church. How are we all doing today? Before we begin, may we all bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to give you the glory. I want to thank you for bringing us all here in your presence this afternoon. I thank you for giving me this opportunity to give your word to your people. I pray as we continue now, I pray you'll speak through me. Amen. And I pray that anyone who needs to hear this message, they will tap into it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may all have your seats. So, before I begin, actually, I'd also like to thank our lead pastor, Pastor Patrick, for giving the teens this opportunity to take control of the service today. And I'd also like to thank Pastor Foye and all our other esteemed pastors in this house for your leadership and tutelage. And I pray that as you be teaching us, we won't disappoint you, in Jesus' name. Amen. So my topic for today is redemption. And our Bible reading will be taken from Isaiah 54, verse 5. I'll mainly be speaking to the teenagers, but of course, anyone who needs it can tap into this message as well. Our parents, older siblings, anyone. So, Isaiah 54, verse 5 says, "For thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called." So to start, I want to say many people of today, many young people of today, they often feel rejected or neglected. They feel like they're not good enough because of social media. They see all these, like, the way people on social media live, and if they don't live like that, they feel like they're not gonna amount to anything, right? They feel forgotten, or they feel like they've made too many mistakes to be saved. But the text we just read reminds us of something powerful, which is God is your Redeemer. So what does that mean? That means you're not alone, you're not rejected, you're not beyond repair, and you're not too far gone for him to save you. So what actually is redemption? According to the Oxford Dictionary, redemption is the action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment or clearing a debt. It's also defined as the action of saving or being saved from sin, error, or evil, or to buy back, restore, or rescue something that was lost. So last week was Easter, and this signifies God sending his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us from sin and death. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says, "My little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. So now we know that Jesus was the one who sacrificed everything to save us. He came down from his throne of glory in heaven onto this earth to save us, to take on all our burdens, all our sin, all our shame, and to die on the cross for us. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 declares, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace." Titus chapter 2 verse 14 also says, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." So now I want you to imagine, you know, these phones of nowadays, if you drop it from, let's say, even this height, they can break easily. But we also know that we can get them repaired and they look good as new. That's what God does. That's what Jesus does for us. He fixes us and he redeems us. He makes us brand new. Now, also, we know people can make pretty big mistakes in their lives that land them in prison, which isn't a term that we all want to hear. But they can also be let free and given a second chance, which is also what Jesus does for us. He gives us a second chance. So now spiritually, what does that mean? It tells us that sin separated us from God. As it says in Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." But we also know that God didn't and won't give up on us. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" So now we want to actually understand our text, Isaiah 54 verse 5. So I'll break it down in three salient steps. So the first one, "For thy maker is thine husband." This means that God is deeply committed to you. It means that he's not distant, he's not careless, he cares deeply for you, and he cares about your life personally. He's present with us wherever we go, whether you're going to school, coming back from school, we know he's with us, he's omnipresent. So that means he's present everywhere at the same time. Even as he's with us here, he's also in different countries, such as Germany, Spain, and the US, all at the same time. So just like a husband protects and provides for his family, his loved ones, God protects us, he loves us, and he stays with us. So number two, "The Lord of hosts is his name." This means that God is powerful. He commands heaven's armies, and any problem that you may think is big in your life is never bigger than God. No problem is ever too big for him to handle. Now, point three, "The Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." This right here is the key part, the most important one. It tells us that God isn't just powerful, he is your Redeemer. Amen. He sees your mistakes, he sees your struggles. Even if you feel like there's something inside that you don't want to tell anyone, God sees it and he still chooses to restore you. So why do we need redemption? Nowadays, every teenager faces peer pressure, temptation from various sources, identity struggles, and mistakes and regrets. But the Bible teaches that we all fall short of the glory of God. As it says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And there's that emphasis on all. So that's all of us here, not just one individual. But the good news is that God doesn't cancel you because of one little mistake. He doesn't cancel you because of your wrong choices. Instead, he takes you under his wing. He forgives you. He restores you. And he gives you a new beginning. Amen?
Amen.
So how does God redeem us? God's redemption, we know, came through his son, Jesus Christ, who paid the price for us. He paid the price for our sins on the cross of Calvary. He took our place and he gave us a second chance. So because of Jesus, our past does not define us.
Amen.
Your mistakes do not own you.
Amen.
Your future can and will be bright.
Amen.
And you can still face tomorrow as a brand new teenager.
Amen.
So now, what does redemption mean for you as a teenager? I want you to know that God paid a price for you.
Amen.
Isaiah 43 verse 4a Since you are precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your sight, which are God's." So, that means that you can start again. It doesn't matter what you've done. You just have to confess and tell God, and He will redeem you.
Amen.
1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Number 3, it means that you're not alone. Even if you're in your room, you feel no one understands you, just know that God is always there. He understands how you feel. He sees your heart. And number 4, you have a purpose. The fact that we're all still here today, the fact that we all wake up every morning to see a new day, means that God still has a purpose for us.
Amen.
And our life still has meaning. So now, some practical steps to live in redemption. The first one, mainly, is to accept God's love. You need to live your day truly believing that God loves you. Number 2, let go of guilt. You need to stop holding onto your past mistakes. Stop letting them hold you down. John chapter 8 verse 36 says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." And just to clarify, the Son here is Jesus.
Amen.
Number 3, stay connected to God. Like this, you need to pray to God, read your Bible, and surround yourself with friends. When you pray to God, you're speaking to Him and He speaks back to you in a two-way communication, just like you speak to your friends in school. But when you study or read your Bible, He speaks only to you. And then when you surround yourself with good friends, you yourself become better. Because Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so does one sharpen another."
Amen.
Number 4, make better choices. Live like someone who has been redeemed. So simply just try your best to live like Jesus. He's the perfect example in the Bible that we can follow. So finally, in conclusion, I'll leave you with this. You're not what people say about you. You're not your past. You're not your mistakes. Because you have been redeemed.
Amen.
So God is saying to you today that I have not abandoned you, but I have chosen you. So my reflection to you, if you feel lost, if you feel guilty, if you feel far from God, just say this simple prayer and repeat after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for redeeming me. Forgive my sins. Help me to live a new life. I accept your love today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want you all to walk into this week with confidence, knowing that you're all loved, you're all chosen, and you're all redeemed. Amen.